Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Broadcasting live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jeff Cameron Show, Libations Friday. Good to have you along. Appreciate you joining us. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. There's Director. We're all here. What a nice day. What a good day. What a good day for Florida State baseball. Yesterday, they get the win. Bullpen shores things up. 8-3. Get the grand slam from Dengis. Upsets in the Sweet 16. Goodbye, North Carolina. Just like that. Goodbye, Arizona. Huh? How about that? Poor Bill. Had a little action on Arizona yesterday. Didn't work out for him. I believe your parlay was shot to hell. Did only my Pirates come through for you? You're muted.
I don't like not having my control. Like I've got, yeah. You know, my studio. I've just got the, you've got the Roadcaster. You got the button. You just got the button. It's clicking. It's for the birds. No, the Reds came through for me. You guys came through for me. The Rays did not, and the Orioles did. So it was Tampa. They got I live hammered the 4-team parlay when the Rays were up 1-0. And I was like, all right, well, we'll take a shot with this. And then didn't go well from there. But the other three legs, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but I had a 4-leg parlay. And only one of them failed me. The other, one came through,
it's never happens that way. Tom, never. You know, this is why Vegas hates it. You know, I mean, most of the time you hit on all four legs. Oh man! Our thanks to our friends at Zaxby's, delicious Zaxby's. Tom had some yesterday, and he was elated. I will have some over the weekend, and I will be elated because I'm going to get the platters, and then you guys will all stop at one of the 53 Zaxby's here in Tallahassee. Remarkable that there are that many. A lot of options, a lot of places around town. When you're outside with this beautiful weather, you say, you know, I'm a little hungry. And the fine folks at Zaxby's have been supporting Florida State Athletics as a Golden Chief booster for over 19 years. Why don't I support Zaxby's? I get delicious food, and I help support Florida State just as they do. It's a no-lose situation. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's, one of 53, 54, I think it is. I can't remember which, in the neighborhood here in Tallahassee. So enjoy and get the Texas toast. It's the weekend, damn it. Get the Texas toast. Dip it in the sauce.
I really think that Danny should set up a Zaxby's in the giant hole that is the alumni side of Doe Campbell Stadium just for the construction workers. Zaxby's?
Yeah,
but just a temporary Zaxby's. Construction workers, when they do a scrimmage or a practice from there, there's enough space. It's cavernous over there. And I'll bet you Zaxby's, with the contracts that they have around town, I mean, there's one being built outside a Hotel Indigo today. I'm sure of it. I just need to look outside the window and see it.
I want to read a quote. I thought DJ Lundy looked the way we needed him to look. He was flying all over the field. It's a fun group to see compete right now because they are talented. They have ability. They can run. That group has been one of the pleasant surprises for me throughout these early practices. There are some struggles. The progression is probably a little further ahead than I expected, though. That is from Norvell talking about the linebackers. Interesting. Lundy is largely very good against the run, not good against the pass. If he takes a step forward this year in coverage, that could be a critical aspect of something that maybe didn't get overlooked, but was kind of brushed over because of all the other names that came into Florida State. So if he's going to have a big camp and he's going to be a more consistent player, really what I'm looking for him is much more consistency. DJ Lundy will blow up a play now. Just ask LSU. DJ Lundy will make a play for you. And whenever that happens, my Twitter feed goes nuts. People, hey, what do you think, Jeff? Because I've been so hard on the linebackers. It's not about the fact that they're completely devoid of talent. I've never walked in and said they don't have any talent. I've said that they've lacked consistency and they're not very good in coverage. I'll stand by that. They haven't been great in coverage. They're good against the run. They've been good against the run. DJ Lundy has been especially good against the run because he's built like a Mack truck. And that is a run fit Jesse if he guesses right, if he diagnoses correctly. He also sometimes ends up in the wrong hole. So can he get better in coverage and can he be more consistent diagnosing plays? Good sign that he had a good day yesterday. It also probably means that Murphy's coming along the way that they wanted him to, if he's saying that he's more impressed by that group than he thought he would be. And Cryer is a guy that I think has a chance to make a real impact this season. Cryer could be a real key to that linebacker unit.
I'll probably take some liberties here in reading, you know, between the lines. I think Cryer has been part of what Mike Norvell is describing. I think the freshmen have been part of what Mike Norvell is describing as surprised with what the group is doing. Now, the context clues of what he said yesterday, they guessed wrong or their eye discipline was poor in several plays at several points of the scrimmage. Because he said the defensive front played well, but we got caught a few times. So it ain't the front that's in the wrong place. I think the secondary played okay. So maybe safety and linebacker, eye discipline-wise, didn't execute to the level that Mike Norvell wanted. And that tracks with what I saw out of one day. Now, again, it's early. This is also a scheme you've got to learn if you're a Sean Murphy or a freshman.
Right.
You got to learn it from scratch, your responsibilities, all that kind of stuff. And now you've got the added element of the helmet communication if you're going to be that linebacker who's in charge of things from, you know, relaying things from the sideline. So there's a lot going on. It's still a question mark. I think the surprise is coming from Cryer and is coming from the freshman. I think Murphy is still getting up to speed, and we'll see what he is, but we'll find out. It's just, I'm hoping that Murphy is a solution there. He's learning. I think he's still thinking his way through some stuff.
Yeah, I think so, and that's to be expected, as we said earlier, about DJ on the offensive side or anybody else, for that matter, in their first ever scrimmage. So I think you're right. I'll be watching that group closely because I don't know if you saw Bill Conley's write-up on defenses in college football this year, but this week he came out with SP Plus rankings on the defense. Well, it really wasn't an SP Plus rankings as much as it was, let's look at the groups that have come the longest way and been the most consistent. And Adam Fuller got a nice shout-out in that article when he cited that in a very short period of time, this is a defense that, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the specific numbers right now and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like 98th to 66th to 43rd to 19th. You know, it's like boom, 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 right? We've watched the growth. And he was pointing out, the crux of what he was pointing out was, yeah, a lot of people around college football think that Florida State's going to take a pretty big step back because of what they lost. We all watched Braden Fisk at the combine and we realized what a wonderful player he is. And we know he's no longer playing there. And we know that, and he just went to Jared Verse is going to get drafted. Many people think certainly in the first round. So all of a sudden you've lost a first round defensive end. If you look at the sheer number of snaps that you lost at linebacker, I mean, my goodness gracious, Tatum Bethune in Deloach. I mean, those guys played a gazillion snaps of Florida State football. And so you lose that experience. And, you know, one of those guys is going to get drafted. The other's got a shot to make it as a free agent or something like that. So, I mean, that's a high caliber players that you're losing there. It's fascinating to talk about some of the secondary as well. His point was that, well, they've also kind of filled a lot of holes and have a lot of dudes that have been in the system that played a lot, that played a ton, that have a chance to just take a step up, and they're not asking them to make a massive leap. And if you're projecting, can they sustain where they're at or even improve on defense from a year ago? You'd be hard-pressed to improve upon what that defense was in the final 5 weeks of the season. I mean, that was really specifically the final 3 weeks of the season. If you look at this Florida State defense, sweet Jesus, you can make a case it was the best defense in the country at the end of the year. So are they going to be that? No. Do they have to be? I don't think so. I think the biggest talking point for me, and I'm going to repeat it, I'm a broken record, is I think the offense is going to be better than the offense a year ago. I think they have more weapons, more opportunities. I think there's some things about what DJ brings that better suits our offense with the personnel that we have than Jordan Travis did. Sorry, I just do. And I, as much as I love Jordan's story and root for Jordan and think he did a lot of great things, I think there were some limitations to his game that DJ now brings to the table as being able to do, as being able to get the ball down the field and a big, 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 big NFL arm, 6'5", can read defenses and see it a little bit easier. And I also think that they've given him added weapons that Jordan didn't have. You know, that's not Jordan's fault. Jordan didn't have that. I mean, we had guys, we thought we were set up, but, you know, this wasn't a ton of speed at wide receiver a year ago. Now you got a ton of speed. So I think the offense will be better, and I think the defense will be as good or something close to it because they continue to add talent, and they've got guys for days in the secondary. You've got experience at both corners. Great experience, by the way. Cypress coming back is kind of surprising. We would not have thought that before the year began. Now you got a kid who's played a ton of football. By the way, it's the best he's ever looked. He's in shape. He wants to get paid. Zaire Thomas has been good every day he's been at Florida State. Now he's a starter. Now he is a rock-solid player. He, too, wants to get paid. You've got, behind those players, a ton of experience and a lot of talent. And, of course, Shaheen Brown has been here forever, too, and he's big and strong, plays the safety position great. I think in a world where the game is built around throwing the football, you're equipped to shut down the passing game. So I think they're going to be good on defense. I think it's a good team.
Yeah, I think it starts in the trenches, and we'll see what the offensive line looks like, what it's comprised of. I know they've got a lot of pieces that are large and agile. I think they're going to be better, I think. I was convinced they would be last year, and I was wrong. So that's why I'll put a bookmark in that, and we'll see. This defensive line is good. I think you're one more defensive interior player, and that could be an emerging option, like a KJ Sampson, or it could be from the market. I think you're one away from being pretty close to as deep this year as you were last year. And that's saying something, because that group last year was really gifted in different ways. But Daryl Jackson was the player of the practice I saw, and it sounds like that's what Daryl Jackson just is these days, one of the top players.
You can't block him if he cares. Look at his body. Look at what he's done. Look at the focus. Look at the maturity from Daryl Jackson out of nowhere. Let's be honest. I mean, come on, let's just say it. Daryl Jackson not noted for maturity at any stop along the way so far in his career. If this is a young man that has grown up right before our eyes, I'm talking about the maturity between the years, and figured it out, the light bulb has gone off. Well, there's never been a question about the physical tools. So if that's the case, look out.
Well, and then they get Farmer back, you know, in fall camp. He's huge. In the last 2 years, his body has exploded. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's not just huge. He's, and I know what you're saying, but he's also pound for pound one of the strongest guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's overweight. I'm just saying, he's a different looking human than he was 2 years ago. So with those two,
60 pounds.
They're very, very large up front. And that's going to win you a lot of football games or put you in position to make a lot of plays. It's about explosiveness at defensive end. I know we just got done talking about Marvin Jones. He has the ability to be explosive, like, you know, period.
Peyton's a star.
And then Peyton, man, one of my favorite plays the other day, I think I brought it up on the air, but the Jalen Lucas big play. He made two, but the one big play, when they're going 11-on-11 the distance of the field, Patrick Peyton pursues from the other half of the field. Like, you know, I was close to that replay board, so I could really take a look at what responsibilities there were for different players. And Peyton must have been 30 yards away from where the ball was going to Lucas. And he hustles his ass off to get to the other side of the field. And that is not atypical of Patrick Peyton. High motor, made a couple of plays in the LSU game that it's not his responsibility, but he understands. He understands what offenses are trying to do. man, if you have another player or two like Peyton in terms of motor and maturity, and it looks like Daryl Jackson could be, they're going to set the tone up front. And then from there, it's about communication at the safety level without Akeem Dent and how good the linebackers are. But they do have a chance to be sneaky good on defense because they've got a lot of large bodies up front of the defensive line.
Yeah, I'm telling people these days that ask me from out of town, my father included in that mix, welcome to the party. Welcome back to the days of Florida State reloading. Welcome back to the days of Florida State being consistently excellent. And the conversations are not about, can you win the conference? The conversations are not about, hey, can they win 9 games? The conversations are, they're really good. I don't know if they're national championship good yet. That's a different conversation. It's a very, very different conversation. It's happened so fast that it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, well, and the playoff this year, they're playoff caliber because there's 12.
They're going to the playoff, Tom. That team's going to the playoff.
Ooh.
That's not what I'm not worried about that. They're going to the playoff. I think they're going to the playoff. But I look at Florida State. I'm getting back to looking at Florida State in the manner that we used to look at Florida State. Can you win a national championship? That's a different set of criteria. That's a different way of judging a football team. And that's where we're at. I don't know. We've got a lot to watch. We'll see if the quarterback's good enough. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see if we're better at linebacker than I think we are coming into the camp. Let's see if some guys emerge. I know we have weapons for days. I agree with you. I think the offensive line is going to be better. I don't see why they won't be really, really good. So, there's some big question marks, but I think this team can make the playoffs. I say they're going to the playoffs. I would bet more likely that they're going to the playoff than not. Let's put it that way. That's probably a better way of saying it.
Well, yeah, again, because there's so many spots at the table, there's 12. And to me, I'm looking for concerns. Linebackers there, they're only 4 practices into spring. This isn't like they don't have answers. They can develop and there's time. Linebacker is a place that's not breaking news, but just watching the one practice I did, we'll see. And they see that there might be a need there. But, I mean, there aren't grave concerns. That's the thing, is there's some places where you're going to need some solutions to develop, but there's no Achilles heel where you're saying, well, I hope other teams don't figure out this, glaring weakness about Florida State. And that's what gets fun. And on offense too, you're going to have to find out who your guys are down in, down out at like receiver. You got options, but who are your guys going to be that you can count on?
Yeah.
That's the journey we're going on, but it's very different to say that than to say, if everything bounces right, they can win 11 games. Like that, no, man, their baseline is pretty really high.
Yeah, good point. And it's really what I'm trying to express. I think it's easy, and I probably sometimes get overzealous, and you can parse words, and, you might think if you're listening from afar, man, Cameron thinks they're a juggernaut. I think they're really, really good. I think they're one of the better, they're a top 15 program in the country. I think they're going to be that year over year. I think that highly of this head coach. His ability to tap the portal and fill spots of need, as well as getting better now in the high school recruiting ranks. I just think Florida State is one of the programs now that has entered the conversation. The way Ohio State is every year, the way Georgia is every year, the way Alabama has been every year. Now, can you get to that level where you're a national championship contender every year? That's what those programs are. They're national championship contenders every year, not just playoff contenders, not just conference contenders. Florida State is now an annual conference champion contender. I mean, we almost expect that it's them. It's us or Clemson. That's all there is. It's us or Clemson, period. And we're now there. 2 years ago, we were not there. We are now there. Well, if you're a conference champion contender, then you're a playoff contender, period. Period. And Florida State is that. They are going to be an annual playoff contender. And I think pretty soon, if they continue down this path, they'll graduate from an annual playoff contender to an annual national championship contender. And that's where we're trying to get to. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We got to take a quick break. Jeff Cameron, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
Man, you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town, you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you could get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
It's one of my favorite segments. We get to get into the red zone here, and one of the reasons I like it is, I love people we work with. I'm talking about Artisan Financial Strategies, and I just was texting with Adam this morning. We were talking about baseball. He's a big baseball guy, but I never know what you're going to ask me when we do this segment. We do not rehearse this. We have certain parameters, obviously. It's a fixed position. But I never asked Tom what he's going to ask me. So I find it fun. The off season ones are in weird ways more fun than the in season ones, Tom, because I have a pretty good guess of what you're going to ask me when it's first down, second down, third down, fourth down, when we do that during the season. But I don't in the off season, where sometimes it's one question, sometimes it's three, sometimes it spurs many different directions for the show. I want to point out to folks, you've heard me talk about Artisan Financial Strategies in the past, and we talk about the retirement red zone and those things. Like, if you're my age, you have to be thinking about these things. But really, if you're a younger part of the demo, if you're 35, 36, 37, whatever it might be there, you've firmly established yourself now in the working world, you've been able to put a little bit money away, you want to get out in front of this thing. You don't want to be fretting. You want to get to be my age and be like, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, you want a game plan. And Adam and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are the people that I'm recommending. And I'm doing this because I believe in Adam, and I believe in who he is and his knowledge, and I believe in the work that they do. There's a lot of things I can tell you about planning ahead, protecting yourself from rising healthcare costs. You want all that planning experience that they have at Artisan to be working in your favor. I'd like you to just reach out to them. Go to NoelRetirement.com. Many of my listeners already have. NoelRetirement.com. He's one of us. He's one of the good guys. He is a Noel, but he is sharp in the world of financial strategies. And that's what you want here. So NoelRetirement.com. Go check it out. Let's fire it up, Tommy. What do we got?
Welcome to the majesty.
Every freaking rep.
The elegance.
To win the game. Oh, he hits the upright. It's no good.
You have entered.
Someone burned out. Funeral home! You burnt the funeral home!
Lives will be changed.
Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable!
Mothers will cry.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough.
Legacies are etched into eternity.
I know who I am. North. South Dakota was his brother from West Virginia.
This is the Red Zone.
That's good to know.
Saw Jimbo around town again this week.
Yeah, he's that's good to know. Always gets me, man. Just that moment with Russillo. Russillo's like, I've got you. I've got you. And Jimbo's like, no.
It's good to know. Yeah, it is.
No, you don't have me. No, really? You think you have this thing going. It's good to know. Yeah. What's
next? It was comical, yeah.
So it's one simple question this week. It's almost like an essay question that I remember this from like AP US history. They call these DBQs, like the document-based questions. And the basis was always to what extent? Like to what extent? Dah, 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 dah.
Yes, I remember those.
So to what extent has your opinion on the 2024 season changed after watching four practices? You can go any which way you want with that. But your confidence level, we've discussed that a little bit in the previous segment, but you've seen them now with your own eyes. To what extent has going to practices, seeing this group early in a camp, changed or influenced your standing on what they can do this fall?
Not at all. I remain as optimistic as I already was prior to camp.
No changes, not even a position group, nothing.
No changes. Listen, I'm not Nostradamus, but I predicted before camp that we were going to be impressed by the newcomers. It didn't take a Mensa to project that kids that were recruited to Alabama would come in here and look impressive, like they could fill the role that they're being asked to fill. You know, you bring in an Alabama running back, I'm not surprised. He looks like he's a really good running back. You bring in an Alabama wide receiver, I'm not surprised. He looks like he could be a really good receiver. You bring in an LSU wide receiver, I'm not surprised that he looks really fast, athletic, and like he might be a really good college football player. You bring it, like, you get where I'm going. I'm just not shocked by any of this. And we already knew that they had, I mean, Daryl Jackson and Josh Farmer were coming back. We knew this. Yep. Once we found that out, I felt really good about our interior of the defensive line. I still do. I suspected that Marvin Jones Jr. might look like he's got some what for to him, given who his dad was, given that he was a five-star, and given that he was recruited to Georgia. Just seems to me that he would probably look like a guy that could come in here and play, and he does. And so on and so on and so on. Earl Little Jr., which right now, not in contact, but doing covering drills and that ilk. He's wearing the green jersey. He can fly. He looks like he's going to be a good football player for us and a candidate to be that nickel corner, right? Your veterans that you knew were coming back that you were excited about. Azaire Thomas, for example, looks like a guy who's poised to have a great year. Patrick Payton, who you knew needed to put on a little bit of size, but his trajectory was that of being an all-conference player and maybe an All-American. Perhaps a top two-round draft pick. That's what we thought in our head is the direction he's going. He's long. He's athletic. Old batted balls. Payton ain't having that nonsense. Now that he's gotten bigger, he can play the run better. He's still quick off the ball. There's just no reason to believe that Florida State won't be a very, very, very good football team. And that's how I still feel. I think there's work to do. I think that DJ's got a long way to go in getting acclimated to the offense. But the physical tools are all there. He's very mature. He's a hard worker. He's dedicated himself to the task. So why would we be worried? I'm not worried. I believe in Coach Norvell. I believe in Tony Tokar is the quarterback coach. So they're going to get him ready. He's not ready right now, but they're going to get him ready. And I think Brock Glenn's just going to continue. You know, that's one guy we haven't talked about today. He had a good day yesterday, and I'm not surprised. Brock Glenn showed tools and abilities a year ago, including in that ass-kicking against Georgia, that suggested he was going to be a really good player for us. I think he will be. I think he's going to continue to push DJ And Luke will push Brock. So we're going to be in a position where that quarterback room has been transformed, where you've got three legitimate players at the most important position fighting for time. This is good. This is a really good situation. I have questions that I had before camp, but they haven't changed. The question mark about who's going to block as an inline tight end. We really don't have the requisite size and strength there. Still have that concern. That's not going to change. It's one of my concerns. Do you have enough depth of talent at linebacker? Is it skilled enough? Still one of my concerns. Maybe less of a concern than I had going into camp. That might be one area where I'm feeling a little bit better, but it's still a concern. I think that's probably an area of weakness on this team, and it still remains to be true. Haven't seen enough so far on the offensive line to think that they're worlds better than they were a year ago, but I haven't seen anything that makes me think they're worse. So, yeah, man, I assume they would be loaded at running back. They're loaded at running back. I assume that they'd be good on special teams. They're going to be good on special teams. Nothing's really changed for me.
I think for me, one player that stood out, and it might just be because of the aptitude last year, the necessity of him being good. It looks like Darius might have taken another step. It's one practice that I've seen, Darius Washington. But, I mean, clearly he profiles a tackle for Florida State. You know, last year it was, where does he play? This year, he's going to be one of your tackles. You don't move Julian Armella inside, and you don't have a situation like Robert Scott, you know, not being available for spring. And we all knew that that would have been a question mark anyway, just because of recent history. But you don't make a move and take a guy who could profile as a tackle and move him in unless you're counting on Byers to be good, unless you're really counting on Darius Washington to be your anchor. There's a little bit of snarl in his game on Tuesday that I found very nice to see. It's not that Darius isn't mean, but there was a couple of reps in one-on-ones where I took note that, oh man, okay, he's not here messing around. It's little things like that have, you know, when you go see practice, it's little developments like that with players that stand out to me. The overall talent level of this team is good. This is the first time I walked out of practice, though. I think I briefly talked about this earlier, where I usually have a phone call back home, and I'm saying they're better. They're always better. This is the first time I'm not sure that this team is better than its predecessor, but they're larger. They're more grown up and they're deeper. So we'll see what they become. But this group is able to handle attrition in a way last year's wasn't. They've got waves of dudes at more positions.
Well, and I think last year's team was unlucky, and I'm just going to project they won't be as unlucky this year. And you think about what that means. I'm describing last year's team as incredibly unlucky in a lot of facets, in a lot of ways. And they went 13-0. If this team is more fortunate, less subject to dumb luck, a bad one at that, I think they can be better. And the schedule's tougher. So I think we have to take a look at the fact that, oddly, there's some games on this schedule that I didn't suspect at the time a couple of years ago or even a year ago that I looked ahead that I didn't think would be tough, that I think are tougher than I would have given them credit for a while back. Like, I think the SMU game on the road might be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think this first game against Georgia Tech is a lot more interesting than I would have projected it to be when it was announced. When it was announced, I was like, oh, get ready for a 50-point ass whoop in Ireland. You're about to watch a one-sided affair. I'm not so sure. I think Georgia Tech is going to present problems for us offensively, meaning their offense against our defense. And I think that they've done a lot. They went and got a Georgia linebacker. They went and got two other guys on defense from other programs that are, you know, big-time players. So I think they're going to be wildly improved on defense. They were awful on defense a year ago. Now, that will they be elite or even very good on defense? I don't know. I'm not a Georgia Tech insider. We'll see. I'll be reading carefully their practice reports because I want to see how much better they are. But I think they're really well coached and they're very experienced on offense. So I think that game could be kind of interesting into the third quarter. I think if we don't play well, and first games are always a little weird. Well, so
I think that's the mark of this year where if you're talking about a variable, you've got so many new players like in it. They'll polish it up with what DJ is. They'll polish it up with the receiver rotation. They'll shrink that from, you know, what they have now. Some guys are going to leave after spring. But you'll get to a place where there's a two deep that you like with starters that you can count on. Offensive line, same thing. I'm sticking with the offense here because that's the one that has you need more pieces to come together to make it look fluid. Like defense, it's about reacting. Offense, you got to make it happen. And they'll have all these things polished up, but still the first game where DJ is in this system, the first real game where Malik Benson's a receiver for Florida State, and you might have two transfers starting for you at guard. You know, you could have Richie Leonard and TJ Ferguson starting for you. Like, there's just a whole lot of newness and a lot of guys from outside the program that when you face a team like Georgia Tech, if you're not buttoned up, yeah, you could be in a game in the second half, and it's just because of natural communication issues because you haven't been through it together. Like, that is that's the sticky part about this early schedule for Florida State. Is as much work as they're about to do in spring camp and fall camp, there's still a learning curve that you cannot duplicate in practice and in camp, and they got to go through it together. It's a tough first game, and it's a tough first month. That SMU game is going to be difficult, I think.
Well, and I think when people hear me say that and we talk about the schedule, they'll be like, wait a minute, last year, guys, we started against LSU. I mean, you can't get tougher than that to start a year. It's true. But I think that on balance, there are more games that fall in the category this year of, we're favored in a vacuum. I like us to win every one of them. But the way the schedule plays out, you're like, okay, you could lose to Notre Dame on the road. You could lose to Miami on the road. You could lose at home to Clemson. You could struggle to win on the road against a really good and well-coached SMU team who's going to make that their Super Bowl. You got an elite quarterback, well, a very good quarterback and a very good offense in Memphis rolling into town. If you're not buttoned up there, you could have a problem. Georgia Tech in Ireland, which we just talked about, is not easy. I don't know what Florida's going to be this year. Their schedule's ruthless, so they may be broken by the time they play us. But Florida they've got athletes, and if they get quarterback play, it could be a problem. You know, you're on the road at Duke, and a lot's changed there. Elko's gone, quarterback's gone. You know, that shouldn't be a problem. If it were last year's Duke team on the road, I'd be like, well, it could be. But you have a lot of those kinds of games. Now, it fell the way we wanted it to fall when they scheduled it. The breaks are in the right spots. When you play certain teams, fall in the right spots. There's no such thing as like loving every week of the season exactly the way you wanted it. But this is pretty close. This is pretty close. Like if somebody gave our fans the teams that we have to play and said, put them in the order you want them with the breaks where you want them, you might get this schedule. kind of got what we wanted here.
Yeah, I think you might play with a bye week later like November, but for the first 8-9 games of the year, it's pretty much the way it needs to be to put yourself in a position to succeed. But while that LSU game it's a better opponent that you're playing in week one, is the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that you played in week one. The continuity, you didn't have to worry about communication. You didn't have to worry about star power, proven star power, comfort in the system. You had two linebackers extremely familiar with the system on defense. Your safety that's gone clearly made a difference when he was not on the field and when he was on the field, Nakeem Dent. He was there. Your star, Jared Verse, was there. Yeah, new guy in Braden Fisk. But in terms of new position, new responsibilities, defensive interior ain't exactly quarterback in terms of, you know, the integrating into a system on the fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan Travis was there.
I mean, that's the biggest one. You had a guy who's played a gazillion snaps for you at the most important position.
Right. And he's got the synergy with a Johnny Wilson that even if Keon ends up being a star of that game, but he knows where to go with the ball with people he's trusted and played with for years, and Trey Benson the same way. So like it was all there, you know, that was the benefit of the way that roster was constructed. It was all about retention from the battle's end. This is about sticking a landing with a whole lot of moving parts. It's not impossible. These are talented parts, but there's clunkiness that comes with that and should That's be true. Expected to come with that.
A lot of good parts. A lot of good parts. You said it. Thank you, Battles In. A lot of really good parts to kind of try to make it work. That's where we've changed who we are. It used to be a couple of years ago, you're like, oh, this guy could work out. Sure hope he doesn't get hurt. No, this might work over here, but man, they're going to have this guy cover for this guy because we don't have anybody else. And, you know, like there were moments where you were, let's try to play towards this strength because if they find out about this, we're in trouble. You know, like this is, you're not doing that anymore. You know, you have answers. When defenses ask questions of you now, you're like, oh, okay, well, we'll do this. And offensively, when teams test your defense and say, well, can you do that? Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. We'll do that with you. You want to play rugged? You want to run, play downhill? We'll stop the run. You want to throw it around a lot? Oh, buddy, I don't think you want to do that with our length and speed and depth, but go ahead. We'll do it. So, you know, there are a lot of answers to these questions, and that's why I'm talking about them differently, where the difference between preseason expectations are you national championship good or just playoff good? What a fun place to be. What a fun place to be. Where are you, national championship good or playoff good? Yeah, just say that over and over again, guys. It's a lot of fun to say that over and over again. I love saying that, and that's kind of where I think we're at, and that's the good thing. By the way, this has been The Red Zone, brought to you by our friends at Artisan Financial Strategies. Once again, a reminder, go talk to Adam. Go to the website. Type in NOLRetirement.com. It'll take you to a page. It'll show you what their expertise is, areas of expertise. It'll give you options and ways to communicate with them. NOLRetirement.com. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. They're making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy. The Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to NOLRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, NOLRetirement.com.
The Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Birdie in the hand,
over to PowerMillSports.com. Check out the website. Camps for your youngins. Baseball, as well as softball. Of course, you can just go there and work out and get in some swings in the cages with expert teachers. But you want a place where your kids can grow in the fundamentals, learn the game the right way, which brings out the most of their skill set, and they have more fun playing the game. I would suggest swinging by PowerMill Sports. It's fun. First of all, it's a cool facility. When you go in there, you're like, oh man, I like this. But it's also really helpful for your youngins. And they sponsor Probables. And Tom, what a great day yesterday was. Let me remind my listeners here that if you're listening on radio, you just stay right with us. You'll get to hear everything. If you're a YouTuber, you got to go somewhere else. If you're in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat, you got to go somewhere else, which is another link, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And you just Real Talk 93.3, realtalk93.com, and then you hit listen live. So that it's very simple. You find the web feed, but we brought the music back, and yesterday Ambrosia was back in our lives, and that's a very nice place to be.
Never really in any other point in my life have I said I need some Ambrosia. But when it comes to Probables, I often think we need a little Ambrosia in here, guys. Can we sprinkle in some Ambrosia? Now, we can mix it up day to day. We have a set of songs. Some of them even, Tom, like you haven't gone to the well in a long time to grab. So remember, you feel free to mix it up on me, brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you wanted, you know, you a little Chuck Mangione. We can go out of different places. Yeah.
This sounds like a conversation we need to have where we're just writing notes of different ideas. Yacht Rock on like Sirius XM. I'm sure that's coming back here soon. It's usually a summer channel.
You know, that's permanent channel. If you have
the app.
Yeah, the app. It just exists all the time.
We need to get there's a Kenny what's his name. We got to get Kenny what's his name in there a little bit.
Loggins?
G? Yeah, Kenny Loggins. Yeah. Loggins. You get some Loggins in there.
Loggins and Musina?
Yeah.
From back in the day?
That sounds like that could be a probable. Loggins versus Musina.
Well, I saw Musina pitch several times in my back in the days when he was with the Orioles before he went to the Yankees. Yeah.
He was one of those that pitched in the greatest game I ever saw, which, of course, was at effing Yankee Stadium. But he was in that game, Game 7 of 03. Clemens, Pedro, Messina, Mariano Rivera, Wakefield. What a day that was.
Yeah. Here we go. So for you guys, 93.3.com, 93.
Realtalk93.com. Realtalk93.com.
All right. So for my radio audience, good times. Here we go. Probables. Cue it up.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Brewers, Mets, Freddy Peralta, Jose Quintana. Man, that creep can roll, by the way. Make up for the postponement yesterday. Home opener for Tom's Mets. Good luck to you, brother. Braves, Phillies. This, too, is a makeup home opener for the Phillies. Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler, Blue Jays, Rays, Chris Bassett. Aaron Civale going for the Rays. My Pirates, who defeated the Marlins in extra innings yesterday, will throw Martin Perez, AJ Puck going for the Marlins. Let's go Buccos. Yankees, Astros, Carlos Rodon, Christian Javier. Rockies, D-backs, Cal Quantrill, Merrill Kelly. We got the Guardians in the A's, Logan Allen, Ross Stripling. Red Sox, Mariners, Nick Pivetta, George Kirby. Giants, Padres, Kyle Harrison, Joe Musgrove, Cardinals, Dodgers, Zach Thompson, Bobby Miller. Rare that I would root for the Dodgers. I did yesterday. I will again today. Screw the Cardinals. Let's go Bobby Miller and the $700 million payroll Dodgers. And that is a look at those who shall remain on the bump or reside on the bump. Quick thing to note, Tom, weird year in baseball, going to be a great year. We have a bunch of people to hate. It's good for baseball. It's good for sports to have that. Your Mets fall in the category. Now, I won't hate them because I love you, and I'm partial to the Mets, just spring training and all that stuff over the years. But ridiculous payroll teams that are so far over the luxury cap number that it's obscene, and they should be penalized and chastised. Your Mets lead the way along with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Astros, and several teams, in fact, fall in this category. It's rather remarkable. About 5 to 6 Braves are in that category too, where they have these obscene payrolls, and then there's everybody else that's not like 20 million behind, but rather 150 million behind, or 170 million behind if you're a Pirates fan. And you go, oh, really? Well, this is some league you got here. But here's the oddity as we wrap it up. Many of the teams that aren't in that area of hate are the teams that are going to compete to win divisions and have a chance to win a World Series. See the Arizona Diamondbacks a year ago or the Texas Rangers, amongst others.
Boy, oh boy. How much of an L did Scott Boras take that Montgomery got 1 year, 25 mil with he's got an opt-out, but between the pennies that he got and Snell hardly got any money, JD Martinez got 12 mil from the Mets. My man took an L like never before. It's a great thing to see.
I just don't understand what the Yankees are doing. You could have had Montgomery. What are you doing? I
mean, $25 million, you idiot.
The Yankees rotation is ass, and there's a guy that's going to help you immensely, and you don't go get him. What are they doing?
You can make the argument for the Mets too, but what they're doing is, and I'll quickly, they're just trying to shed the money because $25 million costs you $52 million because of the 110% tax. So it cost you $52 million for 1 year. That's why they said no.
Well, you're paying a lot of guys that didn't do anything for you and pitch minimal innings. You know, you're still
correct. We're shedding dead weight this year, buddy.
Hey, it's great to have you in town, brother, and good to see everybody out there yesterday. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Peace.